Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone, Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 230 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Sarah.
And this episode is sponsored by another Megan, Megan Poehler. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
She also spelled her name correctly.
I was going to say, did she spelled it right? Correct?
Okay. Apologies to all the other Megans out there
that don't spell it,
air quotes, correct.
Oh my God. So today we will be discussing part one of chapter 11 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Hermione's Helping Hand. So make sure that you have read that chapter and you're ready to strain your way through the details. You'll know what I'm talking about.
I know.
Before long. And before we begin, let's go to Megan, also spelled correctly, for weekly profit things. This is a great weekly profit because this hit the internet and everybody went wild.
Dude.
It's so funny. Okay, so watching the reunion and then they show that picture of Emma Watson, who's not actually Emma Watson, but is Emma Roberts.
Right.
And what's funny is I've totally seen that picture like in, I don't know if it's an article or like another special, and it like also was said to be Emma Watson. So like this was not the first time I'd seen this photo as Emma Watson, which made me laugh.
That's hilarious.
It's been confirmed it is not Emma Watson, it is Emma Roberts, and Emma even posted about it on her social media and said she has never been that cute, which I highly doubt.
That was so funny though. Like, it's a good way to laugh it off and be like, oh, haha, you know.
Yeah. I haven't gone back into it to see what the replacement image is though, cuz it apparently has been fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't either.
They also got the twins' names mixed up.
Yep. Was that on purpose, though?
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
They should have been like, yeah, no, I did that on purpose, because that would have been funny.
Okay.
Just saying. Oh, I'm just saying.
So,
but yes.
Yeah. I also just, like, want to say before we move on, after watching the special for a second time, I just, like, wasn't that impressed with it anymore. I don't know.
It's because they reused a lot of footage.
See, but people like me don't know that.
Right, if you don't like, know.
But the thing is like they claimed it to be something it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's what is frustrating. And like I get
you don't like it when people lie to you?
No. And I get that COVID played a role. in like them not being together as much, but also like you mean to tell me you guys cared about COVID while filming this but still filmed that massive Great Hall scene and they were all in there anyway, so like what's the big deal at that point?
That happened, right?
Yeah.
And why didn't I see more of that? Exactly. That would have been fun. I would have loved to have had like an angle where I was just like a fly on the wall for conversations that they were having. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I just like, I wish that it would have been more reminiscing and less behind the scenes.
I agree with that.
And I agree. Vinny said the highlights were Chris Columbus, Tom, and Rupert. I would throw Emma in there too as a highlight. And Robbie Coltrane.
Helena Bonham Carter, please.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's what, like, the conversations were great, but like, there wasn't that much of that if you break it down and like really watch it again.
At least of new content. Because a lot of the old stories
and like
old.
A lot of the stories that they did tell, even though it was like them reminiscing, it was like repeat stories that they've already talked about in other interviews. So I was just like, can we like hear something new? I don't know.
There's no new stories to tell.
But like, you know, there is the because like
footage, man,
the twins came out with that one about tricking Rupert. So like, right. Clearly that there's stories.
That was funny.
Yeah.
I just like who? Wanted more. Of
yeah.
That.
I would love to know who was snogging. You know,
broom cupboards,
man.
Yeah,
if I had a nickel.
I have heard a lot of people say that they wish it was a lot more like the Friends reunion, which I haven't watched yet, obviously, because I don't want things to get spoiled for me.
Yeah,
but
no,
like,
don't watch that.
But I do think that when the Friends reunion was filmed, I don't know. I mean, their cast also isn't as big as the Harry Potter cast, so like it might have been easier for them to do with COVID.
They did a lot of that outside. They were outside for the audience portion, at least.
So
that
like,
one.
I get that played a role, but I also think that they could have done it better even with COVID playing a role. So like
the Friends reunion was good. It was nothing mind blowing though.
But it was them reminiscing
good.
Of things on set,
talking
exactly
about
what it was.
Their relationships and things.
And that's when people found
Yeah.
Well, you're past that, right? You
can't even
I don't
say.
Know. Just don't ruin it. Don't ask me. I don't know.
No, I'm 90% sure that you're already past
what
the
season?
I don't know seasons. What episode are you on?
The
Ross
one where they
and
what?
Rachel just broke up.
Yeah.
So in real life, they had a huge crush on each other, like during that time.
Oh,
the
I know.
Time
and
where
it was
they
really
were dating
hard
on
for
the
them
show.
To film that.
Well, but like they think that had they gotten together in real life, it wouldn't have been as good on TV.
Oh.
So that was a big chunk of like people had no idea that they had like this massive crush
on each
other.
Both
when they
with
were
people
filming.
Now? Real time
I think
life?
He is. I don't know if she is.
This is a Friends podcast now.
I don't know. I just like I liked Chris Columbus, but like all the other directors, all the things that they said were exactly things that I've heard them say before. And it was just kind of like, meh, like for the 50 millionth time, I heard the story about Alfonso Cuarón telling them to write essays about their characters and Rupert didn't do it. Like, Jesus Christ, I don't need to hear that story again. Oh, my God. It's just like that kind of thing. I'm like, oh, can we move on? Do something new. Like, tell me something new. I don't know. So just like the more I thought about it, I was just like, it's kind of just like meh to me. I don't know.
Yeah, there are special moments, but overall,
don't get me wrong. There are still tear jerking moments like Robbie Coltrane at the end, especially like holy moly. But, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there because you guys just listened to that episode probably. So. My mind has changed.
Oh, geez.
I always see things with rose-colored glasses immediately after watching it and then think about it. And I'm like, yeah, change my mind.
It's okay. I've done that. Thanks, too.
So.
Hmm.
I was going to say, I never knew that those candles were real. That's
I didn't know
surprising.
That either. That was cool.
Oh, yeah. That was in the documentary.
I have not watched it.
But it's so amazing. It is such a good documentary.
Yeah, it's really
highly, highly recommend to anybody who cares about Potter to watch it. Like, it's on YouTube. Just search
The Making of Harry Potter.
The Making of Harry Potter, yeah.
It's like 8 parts.
You know that Marty will never watch behind the scenes stuff because he doesn't want to know how things happen.
Oh, I love
the only thing I like watching is bloopers because those kill me.
Well, there's a lot of those in it. It's just like
I tried to get
like
him to
lot
watch Mandalorian stuff and he was like, nope. He goes, don't ruin the magic. I was like, okay.
I agree.
Mr. Science behind that.
So, I mean, if you enjoyed the reunion, you would 1,000% love that documentary. Just, it's an it's literally 8 hours, except I will say there's one part that entirely features the author, which I just skipped over that part of it. It's part seven, because it's just like her and Steve Clovis talking about screenplay and stuff, which like for me is just meh, because I just didn't care. But like, it's mostly about the actors, the directors, the magic behind it, et cetera, et cetera. Very cool. And it like breaks it down by like one part is like them finding the cast. One part is all about creatures. One part is all about sound and the music and all of like the like John Williams coming up with the ideas and the instruments that they use for like Hedwig's theme and going through all of the different music. What is the word I'm looking for?
The score.
Composers. One is like growing up on the set and like the ending, like the final year of filming. And that one is super emotional. That's the ending of the documentary. Like literally cry like a baby watching that because it's like them on their final day. It's just really great. So anyway, make sure that you follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and it gives you access to our Felix Files episodes, Discord channel, live recordings, trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. Send Potter stories or any questions or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Beautiful.
Woo woo.
You're beautiful.
I don't have any ideas for this recap. It's the recap.
You're welcome.
It's the recap. It's the recap. It's true.
That was beautiful.
Oh, so good.
So good. All right. Let's see if I can get through this without coughing. So last time. All the juicy details from Voldemort's past are just coming out, coming to light. Marvolo and Morfin did end up getting arrested, which freed Merope up to brew a love potion and marry Tom Riddle, Mama and Papa Voldy.
Oh my god.
Dumbledore tells Harry he can share the info with Ron and Hermione, and then right before the chapter ends, we find out that the ring from the memories is the same ring that Harry saw in Dumbledore's hand, but he still won't tell him what happened. Still.
He doesn't need to know.
Nah, it's not crucial.
Not important.
No. We don't see it come back later. It's fine. So, you know, they're in school. They got schoolwork. They're busier than ever because, you know, they actually have to learn things. And they aren't really talking to Hagrid, but they plan to talk to him, I guess. Because they're not taking his class. What if you didn't know that by now? And he's upset. Harry gets a new potions book, but he swaps the covers so we can keep the old one, which I get because, you know, there's a lot of good things in that. But at the same time, I think I'd rather have the new one so it's not like falling apart. But I guess if you have like a whole new bind to it, you know, like the whole cover. Anyways, things that are not important or relevant to this.
Oh my God.
So he's having Quidditch tryouts, he being Harry, that morning. And some students from other houses are there to also try out. Okay, not. They're just there to look at him. He sends them packing. And then he goes through all of the positions, leaving the keeper for last because his friend is Noivis.
Yeah.
And that's where we get.
Okay. Is Hermione a seer? No. She's just smart. But she did predict correctly that the 6 years free periods were not necessarily going to be actually free. And she's right. So the blissful hours of relaxation that Ron was hoping for, and also I too hope for those hours, is not what they were getting. They were getting time to catch up on their homework.
I mean, but like, they didn't have to do it, but if they didn't do it, they probably wouldn't sleep much. True. They're still free periods. They're just choosing to do homework.
All right.
Just saying.
Anyways. But they're studying like harder than ever. So every day they're studying like there's an upcoming exam, and Harry is barely able to understand half of what McGonagall is saying. And even Hermione has to ask her to repeat instructions, sometimes once, sometimes twice. And I'm just thinking, for like Harry, like a regular student like Harry, these classes are so hard now if Hermione's having to ask for instructions to be repeated, because usually like she doesn't. So I think that lets us know.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
It's tough stuff. And Harry's best subject was still potions, much to Hermione's dismay, and it was all thanks to the 0.5 hemoglobin ruler.
Tiffany, that gets snaps. That's awesome.
I laughed to myself today.
I think you've been hanging around me too much.
Yeah, probably.
You're welcome.
So, nonverbal spells were now.
I had to think about that because I had. Boy, oh. In my head, when you said ruler, I'm thinking of like
a measuring.
Like those old school ones that are like wood with like the metal on top. That's what my mind conjured. I'm like.
Synonyms what? For prince. 0.5 hemoglobin ruler.
My mind's preoccupied with obviously school things. Princes.
Oh my gosh. So nonverbal spells were now expected during their lessons, not only in Defense Against the Dark Arts, but also in Charms and Transfiguration too. And this is so tough because we don't really see them like how do you learn the nonverbal spell? Sometimes it feel like when they went over it, it just felt like you either you could do it or you couldn't, you know? And it's like, well, what's the steps? Are we scaffolding here? How do we reach this? Like, come on. And so obviously this is a spell performed without speaking the incantation aloud. And it's very, very handy. But, like, how do you learn how to do it? Is anybody teaching you step by step what to do, you know?
No, it's not that.
No? Bueller?
For, like, nonverbal?
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I think it's just something that you have to learn.
I was just wondering, like, how are they teaching this? Because everybody seems to be struggling.
I genuinely think it's just something that you, like, you... like
you have or you don't, or sometimes it just clicks in after you try. But how do you practice? What do you do?
It's one of those things where like you just have to
say it in your head a million times. Good Lord.
And you're either gonna get the skill or you're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just wish I knew like what the lesson was. You know?
Say a spell without speaking the words out loud. That's the lesson.
Just in your head.
In your head.
Nonverbal. Oh, okay. Anyways, many students are struggling with this. Okay, so the point where they are purple.
Whoa, where's my bell?
In the face, okay, and they're straining like they had taken some you know poo, and that's a lot of straining. Okay, that's where we're straining our way through the details. Okay,
don't strain.
So going to the greenhouses by this point was a relief. And even though they were dealing with more dangerous plants than ever, like even though, you know, second years are pulling up mandrakes, but that's not my business. They are permitted to swear loudly if the venomous tentacula seizes them from behind. What's that? Well, once my computer redirects, I'll tell you. it is a plant. No, it's a green evil spiky toothsome magical plant with mobile vines that try and grab living prey.
It's mobile.
Call me on my mobile. So the wiki says the venomous tentacula expelled venom from its shoots and its spikes were deadly. Its bite was highly venomous. It's talking like it doesn't exist anymore. And it could easily stun or kill. Its juice was also a less than lethal poison used for student research in classes at Hogwarts, particularly by sixth year students. They are permitted to swear. We love this. I just think that's nice of her.
Me too.
If you're frightened and it comes out, you're not in trouble. All right.
See you hanging with the Hufflepuffs. We cool.
Yeah. So they had giant eyeless heads with fangs, though the shape of its mouth tends to vary along with the many leaves surrounding it. It also has many large vines as appendages that acted like arms, which may or may not have also had separate heads of their own at the end. The severing term could be used to both stun the plant and sever its vines.
Venomous occasion. Tongue.
Sorry, oh, go ahead.
They make me think of piranha plants.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
That's what I have like literally always envisioned in my head is like an enormous,
like multi-head piranha plant.
Yeah.
It makes me think of what's that old musical?
Well,
with the guy
Rocky Horror.
No. With that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Rick, is that Rick? Is that his
Rick
name?
Rick Moranis.
Yeah,
he's in a musical.
Yeah. Little Shop of Horrors.
I understand.
That's what I meant to say. What came out.
Yeah.
Had the word two horror in it. You almost got it. You almost got it. Occasionally, aside from biting, some forms of the plant could also fire spiky spores like balls from their mouth at targets.
Spiky spores.
And yeah, so they eat chisperfles? What? What's that? And what is the source? 10. Video game. We're ignoring it.
Scratch that.
Yeah, don't worry about it. So, anyways. Herbology class is on. With an enormous amount of workload and hours practicing nonverbal spells, they had not been able to find any kind of time to go and visit Hagrid. And this is a really sad tweet, you guys, because he's a very emotional guy and he's taking this really hard. And honestly, don't blame him, because whether you view this as that's right or that's wrong, Hagrid views the trio as his friends.
Yeah.
And it's not just student teacher relationship, like there's friendship
but
there.
Even like if you were in that situation where you were teaching a specific class and you had students that you were very close to, mm-hmm. would you not be upset that they didn't say, like, not even give you, like, hey, we're
yeah
not gonna
I would
take
be sad I'd be sad
like so I yeah, yeah you know
rightfully so
yeah
especially
yeah.
when
he's justified
you're close
and some people yes. I'm sure we're gonna get somebody that says he shouldn't have been like that, but
you, here's his my thing, when people tell me or other people how to feel, makes me want to swear at them. So don't ever tell someone how they should feel. Thank you.
Fictional or not.
I just got real fired up, and this is not a real situation.
You cannot see her, but her face is rather red right now.
I almost genuinely wanted to say a swear.
She
but
got
I
real
myself.
Spicy there for
no,
a second.
Like, I just, it's just something I really hate. Like, don't tell me how I should feel.
I agree.
And you shouldn't tell him, regardless of his age or what he's doing or whatever.
Yeah.
It's still upsetting,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. I agree. Anyways, so if you don't remember, they are not taking care of magical creatures this year, and tensions are gonna be a flying. Because Hagrid's quite emotional about this, and like I said earlier, rightfully so. He has stopped coming to meals at the staff table, which is a huge ominous sign. And on a few occasions when the trio had passed him, either in the corridors or out on the grounds, he had failed to notice them in their greetings. And so finally, when Hagrid is absent from breakfast on Saturday, Hermione tells her little group, aka Ron and Harry, that it's time to go and explain to Hagrid why they're not taking care of magical creatures. Like, it's time to talk, right?
Yeah.
And so this is what it said. Quote, "We've got Quidditch tryouts this morning," said Ron, "and we're supposed to be practicing that Aguamenti charm from Flitwick." And these are exclamation points. He's very excited. "Anyway, explain what? How are we going to tell him we hated his stupid subject?" "Ron, that's rude." "We didn't hate it," said Hermione. "Speak for yourself. I haven't forgotten the scroots," said Ron darkly. "And I'm telling you now, we've had a narrow escape. You didn't hear him going on about his gormless brother. We'd have been teaching Grop how to tie his shoelaces if we'd stayed."
Shoelace.
Ron. I think he's heightened up, though, like, right now. He He's real hype.
Oh yeah, right before tryouts.
Yes.
And like I
and he would have never said stupid subject to Hagrid's face. I think he's just
want people to think that I'm mad that they're not taking his class. I just am like he's I think upset they had didn't tell him. You know what I mean? Like that's
yeah.
the part that's possible.
Yeah.
Not so much that they're communication. Not
taking his class.
Yes. But yeah.
Okay.
We also have to remember that they are children. So like obviously yes. out of the three of them, Hermione is the most mature. So she's gonna obviously think of Hagrid's feelings before the other two.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Harry thinks about it too. I think that when he stops and pauses, but I feel like they've been going so much. And that's something that Hagrid also needs to understand when they have that conversation.
Yes. I mean, he's not completely faultless either because obviously ignoring them and everything. Like,
that's
also
not right.
But again,
feelings are hurt and you make decisions.
Yes. But he's also in the position where like he never really had a chance to like grow up with parents and like to tell them like how. He didn't have like really good role models of like this is how you can deal with your feelings.
Yeah.
And especially when these books are written, people didn't talk about their feelings like they do now.
True.
So sometimes you just need help how to like figure out how to navigate them and how to respond when you are upset.
Word. Aguamenti.
What's that?
It's a charm.
It's
going to show up later too. Yeah.
I was just going to say, do you think that this is like foreshadowing for the fact that Harry's going to need this spell? Well, he is going to try to use it, but it's not going to work.
It's not going to work at the lake. If you don't remember.
I like that. You look me right in the eye.
You looked confused.
No, I knew what she's talking about.
Okay.
I was thinking, I was actually thinking about the fact that even in my section, there's a lot of foreshadowing to people in the later book.
Yeah. So this is going to show up later. Literally at the end of this book, pretty much, where Harry is trying to get Dumbledore water at the lake, and Voldemort pretty much says, "No, thanks, you can't do that here."
But he can't even use the spell. I don't remember, if I'm being honest.
It fills up.
He can't like squirt in his mouth.
I don't know.
Just asking.
I don't know.
Why not? Like a hose. Remember when you're a kid?
No, I know what you're talking about.
That's why you shouldn't leave home without a water bottle. Always carry water.
Well, they were thinking we're going to the lake. There's water there. We could probably drink it, right? No, fools. It's salt water.
Fools! You're fools!
With dead bodies.
So, he can't pour it, I guess, with his little shell. Anyways, so it is a charm that conjures up a jet of clean, drinkable water from the tip of the caster's wand. In addition to being a charm, it is also classified as a conjuration, an advanced form of transfiguration. Is that because it's like an element? I'm gonna open this tab.
I agree.
Let's see.
Water.
Maybe you use the water
it's
in the
water.
Air.
Distinguished from other branches of transfiguration by their ability to transfigure the desired object from thin air, quote, air quotes, thin air, quotes. While its opposite, vanishment, causes desired objects to disappear from existence. I enjoy. So that's going to show up later in a very sad way. Yep. Oh, Marietta used it.
Don't say that name.
Marietta.
Oh, Marietta.
Never heard of her.
Moving on.
Oh, Marietta.
She was a year ahead of them,
She's
so I
like,
guess she would have
worn Swish and Flick's mascot.
She really is.
Oh, my God. She's awesome.
Do you want to know what the word gormless means?
Yes, please tell me.
Stupid.
Oh, I thought that said Tiffany.
No. Spelled differently. They are synonyms, though.
I did make that joke to you the other day when you were saying about unanswered prayer, and you're like, yeah, Marty, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you spelled Sarah wrong.
She's fine. Oh, so that was nice, Ron. He's so amped up right now, you guys.
He's very anxious.
Yes. And Hermione's very upset about this whole thing. I don't blame her. I would feel very guilty as well. And I, too, don't like upsetting people. And Harry assures her that they're going to go down and see him after Quidditch because he misses Hagrid too. But he was with Ron in thinking that they're better off without Grop in their lives.
I mean, it's probably not wrong there.
It's a terrifying responsibility.
I don't want to say. I wouldn't want to hang.
But the thing with Grop too is that, like, he's also not in an environment that's, like, good for him either.
True. No.
So, like, for him to truly thrive, he should probably not be
tied up.
Correct.
Driving.
Yeah. Or, like, in a, and I know that, like, the Forbidden Forest is, like, kind of big, but, like, not big enough for him. You know what I mean? Like,
well, if you think about where the giants were living, it wasn't like a wooded area, you know, when they were talking about it.
But they were also forced to go there.
Open space.
Lord Farquaad said, no, you're going to be camped here. He huffed and he puffed and he signed an eviction notice.
Hello, Farquaad. Duelakis.
You want to feel old? That movie's like 30 years old. Not really.
Oh my god! I was like, it is like not 30 years
it's
old.
It's like 20 years old. My grandpa was still alive, and he died in, I think, like 2004.
We just went on that ride at Universal for the first time because it's closing this month.
And the last good. Time.
And the last time. Yeah. It was
let me tell you.
Did you like it?
It
no?
needs to close.
It's not that sad. It's leaving. But I do love Shrek. That's not to say I don't love it.
Shrek is like a Shrek. Great movie.
Yeah.
I did not like that ride.
See, Shrek's this last year turned 20.
Wow.
This year, they're going to be able to drink. In America, at least, you know. Other countries, they might be able to now.
Okay. You're a dork.
You know he's Scottish?
Yeah.
Did you know that he did the entire movie almost without the Scottish accent and decided to redo it?
What?
And also, Chris Farley was originally the person that was
Chris Farley
Shrek,
was supposed to be
but he
Shrek.
Died.
He recorded some stuff, I think.
Yeah, I think he recorded a lot of it.
Wow.
He passed away before.
Oh, R.I.P. Wands up, pour one out. I love Chris Farley. Oh,
funny guy.
Myth.
This took a turn.
I'm so sad now. Anyways. Apparently, a lot of people had tried out for the Gryffindor team, and trials might take all morning because of the amount of people. And this confuses Mr. Potter. And he's just wondering why all the popularity all of a sudden. Hermione's like, duh.
Because he's hot.
Gryffindor team's not popular. Harry Potter is. And he has never been more interesting and fanciable.
Ooh. Just wait till he actually saves the world.
Mm.
He'll be beaten off the people with sticks.
Sticks! Harry's
just
always...
actually have Jenny in front of him.
Oh, God.
He's always like, don't even oblivious. Look at him. Don't think about him.
Isn't that what makes him so great?
It is what makes him great.
He's oblivious. Oblivious and sassy.
So Ron gags on a large piece of kipper, which I knew was fish, but I didn't know if it was like a specific type or like something. So I looked it up and it is specifically a British breakfast dish. And it is made of herring that has been cured via kippering, which means split open, cleaned, salted and smoked, and then usually grilled, broiled or sauteed. It sounds absolutely disgusting. So.
That's a no for me.
I'd try it. I don't know if I'd like it, but I try it. I like fish.
Makes me think of Nigel Thornberry. Didn't he like kippers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he did. So Hermione goes on explaining. And by the way, Ron gags on this piece of kipper because Hermione calls Harry fancyable. He's a little jelly belly. So Hermione goes, everyone knows you've been telling the truth now, don't they? The whole wizarding world has had to admit that you were right about Voldemort being back and that you really have fought him twice in the last 2 years and escaped both times. I think that this is what I am the chosen one scene is kind of meant to be in the movie because like this scene doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
right.
But I think it has similar humor, except I do kind of wish Ron had been there because, like, he just adds. He's just funny. I just love Ron.
Gag on a kipper.
Yeah. Yep. So Harry, like, feels hot as she starts talking about him this way.
Yeah, he does.
And is sort of, like, embarrassed or something. I don't know. I think he's just, like, out of his element. Like, he doesn't want to believe that he could be the cause of this. You know what I mean?
That he could be...
the chosen, but I am the chosen one. Fanciable. So Hermione continues and says, and you've been through all that persecution from the ministry when they were trying to make you out that when they were trying to make out that you were unstable and a liar. You can still see the marks on the back of your hand where that evil woman made you write with your own blood, but you stuck to your story anyway. And then Ron tries to butt in here and he's like, you can still see the scars on my arm from the brains.
I love him.
But she
just needs some attention.
He does. He does. And she also points out that Harry grew about a foot over the summer, and Ron's like, I'm tall. And I also love him.
What do they say in the movie? Like, she's got nice skin. Yeah. As far as, you know, skin goes.
God.
I do kind of love how they couldn't really.
Your hair is clean.
I do kind of love how they couldn't really include that line, though, because, like, Dan is so short. Like, it wouldn't have made sense. He didn't grow that much.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
But Rupert did. So that, you know, Ron could have been like, but I'm tall.
I'm tall. Yes.
So the owl post arrives and it's raining outside, so the owls are dripping water all over everybody, and there seems to be more post lately than usual just because of parental anxiety. They just want to, like, the parents want to hear from their kids. They want to reassure them that all's well at home. There's just, like, a lot more communication going on because of everything that's going on in the world. So Harry hasn't really received any mail since the start of the term, mostly because, quote from the book, his only regular correspondent was now dead. And although he had hoped that Lupin might write occasionally, he had so far been disappointed. And I honestly, in this book, I feel for Lupin because he's occupied with the Tonks situation and he has a lot of issues.
It's weird when you call him that. His best
friend just died. Of course he's got issues.
Yeah.
What, Katie?
It's weird when you call him that.
Lupin?
Yeah.
I know. Remus. It's weird. Remus is going through it. So I just think that it's really hard for... He truly never really has the chance to, like, be a real father figure for Harry beyond those lessons in third year. Like... Because at this point, yeah, like, he loses Sirius after just gaining Sirius back.
I'll help him find him.
He...
What? What?
I said I'll help him find him.
I don't get it.
He's lost.
Oh! What? I was like, he's dead, though.
He's dead, though. How come he wasn't in the reunion?
How come a lot of people weren't in the reunion? It probably was because of COVID. There's some reason,
Julie
I'm
Walters,
sure.
I understand not being there.
What?
She...
Who?
Julie Walters.
Oh. Why?
She's ill.
Oh.
We're in remission. I'm not sure which one. So I get that.
I mean, there were a ton of people that it would have been cool if they were there, but...
Yeah.
Alas, welcome to the world of 2021, now 22, and 2020.
It's all a mush of years.
I know. And also, like, on top of losing Sirius, he also now is feeling conflicted with Tonks. His brain has to just be all over the place. So, like, I feel for him. So Harry was surprised when he saw Hedwig. Because she brought him a box, and Pickwidgeon also brought the same box to Ron, and it was their new copies of Advanced Potion Making from Flourish and Blotts. And Hermione's like, well, good, now you can return that copy that you'd been using. And Harry's like, haha, no, I figured it out. So he uses Defindo to sever the covers from each of the books and then repairs them together so that the new cover is on the prince's copy and the prince cover is on the new copy. Yes, Katie.
Since Hedwig and Pigwidgeon brought the books, does that mean you, like, send the order with your owl and your owl sits there until they process and package Maybe. And ship it? You know what I mean? Like, are they just hanging at Flourish and Blast until this book was ready?
I also kind of wondered if there was a system where, like, they, like, packages just get delivered to the owlry. And then the owls know, like, oh, I have to pick that up and bring it down when it's delivery time.
Yeah, like, is there, like, a whole massive peck of owls that, like
a peck
whole,
of owls.
Like, a whole owl fleet, like,
probably
owl is on, and they all go out, and they deliver.
Owl is on.
I love that.
That's really good.
But also,
that's really good, Katie.
That is really good.
Thank you.
Let's just turn everything into owl stuff. Owl's Caban, Owl's On.
They really run the world.
I would shop
world.
From there.
Owl Wars.
Yeah. Owl Wars.
And Harry also then says, well, like, oh my gosh, I'm blanking. Slughorn. I forgot his name. Slughorn won't be that mad. This copy of the book costs 9 galleons, and that is about $67.
Yikes.
Yikes, but also not really, because, like, think about how expensive college books are.
Accurate.
So
you're right.
I mean, it's expensive, but, like, it could be a lot worse.
It's true.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Dude, paying for those books, like, just pained my heart every
My
time.
Brother told me the best thing, which some people might not like. But he was like, he never bought the books until he went to at least one class. He's like, half of them, they didn't want you to use them.
Yeah. Some of the professors were like, yeah, I'm also not going to do that to you.
I never bought the books.
I'm not a great student. And like, if they told me to read something, I wouldn't read it. So I'm very rarely cracked open a textbook.
I saved a lot of money on books in college because I didn't buy them. Or I would buy them like second, third, fourth hand off of like reseller websites. They were like a very small fraction of the cost. So Hermione presses her lips together and she looks angry and disapproving, but was distracted by a third owl landing in front of her carrying the day's Daily Prophet, and she unfolds it hastily to scan the front page. And Ron, in a quote determinedly casual voice, says, "Anyone we know dead," which is just sad, because he poses the same question every time Hermione opens the paper. And like, honestly, this has nothing to do with that question, but all to do with Hermione being upset at Harry. She should just like embrace the fact that he's going to keep this book and like ask to read the tips, hone those potion skills.
She's being
use
stubborn.
The book with Harry. I'm sure he'd share it.
He did offer to both of them.
Yeah,
he did. He's not trying to be a book hog.
So,
yeah. So Ron asks if anyone they know has died, and Hermione says no, but there has been more Dementor attacks and an arrest. And Harry just says, well, who? Thinking like, just kind of casually thinking like someone like Bellatrix. And then Hermione says, Stan Shunpike. And Harry's like, what? So Hermione reads, Stanley Shunpike. Conductor on the popular wizarding conveyance, the Night Bus, has been arrested on suspicion of Death Eater activity. Mr. Shunpike, 21, was taken into custody late last night after a raid on his Clapham home. Didn't realize he was that young. Makes sense. But also, like, wow.
How old is he? Oh,
21. So Harry's like, no way. Like, Stan Shunpike is not a Death Eater. And Ron says, well, maybe he's been put under the Imperius curse. You can never tell. And Hermione says it doesn't look like it, though, because it's reported that Stan was overheard talking about the Death Eater's secret plans in a pub. So if he was under the Imperius curse, why would he just be? If he was under the Imperius curse, would he just be gossiping about Death Eater plans?
It was a way to make it look like he wasn't under the Imperius curse. So they had him do that on purpose.
I mean, it is confirmed that he like was.
Right.
I'm making sure for myself. So where was I? Oh, Ron says it sounds like he's trying to act like he knew more than he did, and he brings up the fact that he was trying to go on about being the Minister of Magic in front of that villa. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And Harry's like, yeah, that's him. Like, I don't know what they're playing at taking Stan seriously. So Hermione says something that I think is very true. She says they probably just want to look as though they're doing something. They already had to backtrack on a whole year's worth of slandering Harry and Dumbledore,
mm-hmm.
saying Voldemort's not back. So Hermione tells them that people are terrified. The Patil twins' parents want them to go home. Eloise Midgen has been withdrawn and picked up by her father just the night before. So I looked her up because I couldn't remember her. Good old Eloise. She actually is mentioned like quite a few times. She's the one in the fourth book who has bad acne, and she tries to remove them.
Oh, I remember that.
But ended up needing to have her nose reattached.
Yes.
She's also the one that Hermione suggested that Ron take to the Yule Ball. He like balked at the idea. And then the following year, Hermione warned anyone who snitched after signing the Dumbledore's army paper that they would be hit with a jinx that would make Eloise's acne seem like a couple of cute freckles. So this poor girl, all she's known for in this series is having bad acne and then getting taken out of Hogwarts by her dad. But Ron is shocked and he says, but Hogwarts is safer than their homes. It's bound to be. We've got Aurors and all those extra protective spells and we've got Dumbledore. So then Hermione gets very quiet and she's like, I don't think we have him all the time. His seat has been as empty as Hagrid's has this past week. And now that Harry's thought about it, he hasn't even seen Dumbledore since their private lesson a week ago. So Hermione says, I think he's left the school to do something with the order. I mean, it's all looking serious, isn't it? Which he's not really doing something for the order, but she's on the right track. So neither of them answer, Ron or Harry, but he knows that they're thinking the same thing. This is really super sad, but from the book, there had been a horrible incident the day before where Hannah Abbott had been taken out of Herbology to be told her mother had been found dead. They had not seen Hannah since. So, like, things are truly getting much darker and much more serious. It's just scary times. So they leave for the Quidditch pitch. Whoa, almost had an accidental swear. And past Lavender Brown and Parvati Patil, they're whispering together, looking distressed. This makes sense to Harry because they had just found out that Parvati might have to go home. But until Ron comes closer and Parvati nudges Lavender and she looks around and gives Ron this big old smile. And Ron's like, okay, not really sure what to make of it. But his walk instantly starts becoming a little bit more like a strut. And Harry mentions to himself that he wants to laugh, but then he remembers, Ron didn't laugh at me when Malfoy broke my nose, so I'm going to do the same kind of respect for him. But Hermione, she looks cold and distant all the way down to the stadium, and she didn't even wish Ron good luck.
He doesn't need it. He's got her.
That's true. She will be his luck.
So the tryouts take as much time as Harry had expected them to, and it seemed like everyone showed up, like the entire, I think it says like more than half of the whole of Gryffindor, like literally first years through seventh. And he immediately recognized Cormac McLagan from Slughorn's train lunch thing. And he asks him, like, basically saying like, oh, you didn't try out last year. And it turns out that, like, he had wanted to, but he ate too many doxy eggs, like a pound of them, because of a dare. And he was in the hospital wing, which sounds like a typical teenage boy. And maybe not. I don't know. But I knew teenage boys that did dumb things.
That makes me think of Tide Pods.
Oh, God.
Don't do that stuff. Just don't do it. You can say no. Yeah. Peer pressure is not life. It's fine.
And so on the wiki with doxy eggs, it says the eggs of a doxy were black in color and they were used as an ingredient in potion making, such as in the girding potion, which I don't know what that is. So let's click on that because that seems somewhat interesting. And under properties, it says poisonous. The girding potion was a potion that gave the consumer prolonged endurance. The maximum dosage was 2 vials. It was a rather foul odor. And Hermione made it in 1996. So that's cool. So doxy eggs, anything else to say about them? It says being that the doxy is a fairy-like beast, Bowtruckles apparently were drawn to their eggs as readily as fairy eggs. They caused illness when eaten by humans as they were poisonous.
Don't so eat cool. them. Don't yeah. eat them.
Don't eat things you're not supposed to. You know, probably mm-hmm. probably good thing to have in life. You know,
just maybe.
Yeah. So he told him to go wait with the rest of the group, and kind of got the feeling that Cormac had expected special treatment because they were both favored by Slughorn.
Gross.
And Harry doesn't care. That's the simple truth. He doesn't care. And so the first thing he has them do is kind of divide into groups to fly around, and they're like groups of 10. And so the first group was a bunch of first years, and many of them really didn't know how to fly well. And like one boy that was able to get up into the air and stay in the air, crashed into the goalposts. Group two was full of, and this is quoting from the book, 10 of the silliest girls Harry had ever encountered, who, when he blew his whistle, were merely fell about giggling and clutching one another. Romilda Vane was amongst them. So he tells them to leave. So they go up to the stands to like watch the rest of the tryouts. Romilda Vane, we've met her before. We also know who she is. The actress that plays her has great hair. I'm just saying. There's a picture of her on the wiki. She's very pretty. And I love her hair. Super curly, beautiful, obsessed. Any hoosies, she is a witch and a Gryffindor student at Hogwarts, obviously. And she developed an obsessive crush on Harry. She gives him a love potion, which because like he like I think left it for a long time. It and we talked about this on a previous episode that like the longer you leave a love potion, the stronger it gets. Mm-hmm. And so Ron mistakenly in Jessica's chocolate. And you know, that doesn't end well for him because he almost dies.
He's good. They're gonna kill
him. Yeah. Let's see. She said she was a member of the Dumbledore's army. She fought in the Battle of Hogwarts. She allegedly survived from Deathly Hallows Part 2 in the movie. She's alive, I guess, at the end of it. I don't know. What's there to say about her? I probably won't go too much into her because we'll probably talk about her later because, you know, Romilda Devane. Mm-hmm. But again, we're going to see her. She's going to pop up again because she's in love. So quoting more from the book, the third group had a pile up halfway around the pitch. Most of the fourth group had come without broomsticks. The fifth group were Hufflepuffs. Hey. So Harry, who is getting, he's getting very annoyed at this point because I think that... This is how many years is he like, has he really tried out? Has he tried out for the team every year? I don't remember if he like goes to tryouts or if they just are like, no, Harry.
Oh, I don't think it's, I don't know if it's mentioned. Now that I think about
I don't know
it.
If it really is mentioned because like he says, he's like, well, you're already on the team to Katie. She's like, no, like you need, we have to do tryouts.
Yeah.
And so maybe. Maybe he's there just because he's like automatically going to be the seeker, but like I don't know if this has ever been like this with this many people. So he's already out of his element because he's never been the captain, but he's also out of his element because there's so many extra people who probably, if he wasn't the captain, wouldn't have tried out. So obviously he tells students, he gets all loud and says, if you're not in Gryffindor, leave. Mm-hmm. And then it's noted that there are some Ravenclaw kids that also leave. That were there as well.
Oh my god.
And so now we can continue the tryouts, which last about 2 more hours. And they had, you know, in that time there's a crash with a Comet 62, except it says 260, and some broken teeth. And so he's picked his chasers. We've got Katie Bell, who has already played for the team. He knows she's good. He's watched her. Demelza Robbins, who was new but good at dodging bludgers. And then of course he couldn't exclude the future wifey Jenny. And this is a little quote from the book. It says, who had outflown all of the competition and scored 17 goals to boot.
Yeah.
And it seems like the rest of the humans trying out for Chaser aren't super happy, so he tells them to get out of his way or he will hex them. He's not messing around because he's annoyed.
Yeah,
but also leave. But Katie Bell comes up again. Obviously we've met her before because yeah. She's been playing Quidditch, but she is going to be
she's the lucky one.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Mm-hmm. She gets a well, she doesn't get a necklace, but she's like, ooh, this necklace is pretty, let me touch it. And then the necklace is like, ha ha ha, I got you. She got, as Tiffany would say.
Got.
But obviously she's a Gryffindor. She's been playing Quidditch. She's part of Dumbledore's army. She gets cursed by the opal necklace. And she recovers at St. Mungo's, the hospital for magical m'ladies and m'dudes, you know? And she does return and she does fight in the last battle, Battle of Hogwarts.
For her.
Yeah. And then I said, I'm not looking Ginny up because we know her. She's a great Quidditch player. Awesome human, you know, blah, 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 whatever. We like her. We know her.
I know her.
So the Beaters are next. And whilst there aren't, basically, there aren't any that are as great as the twins, he is pleased with his choice of Jimmy Peaks and Richie Coot. And Jimmy Peaks just sounds like, he makes me think of like a gangster or something, like Jimmy Peaks. Oh. And so he picks them and then he tells them to join the rest of the spectators, like in the stands. So, of course, I looked up these lovely men. So Jimmy Peaks.
Jimmy Peaks.
He was a wizard and a student at Hogwarts. We know he's chosen by Harry to be a beater on the Gryffindor Quidditch team.
He looks so happy.
And it says
that
he and Richie replaced Jack Sloper and Andrew Kirk. And we know they were like the stand-ins for the twins after they were banned for life. There's Sean Peaks is a possible relative. I don't know who that is.
Species is human.
Jimmy Peaks, man. It's like, you don't mess with Jimmy Peaks.
Jimmy Peaks.
Don't meet him in a back alley.
He just sounds like, you know, he's got people that work for him. I've been working for Jimmy Peaks for 15 years.
Stop. Oh, God.
Let's see. I don't know. It says he was in his third year, I guess, when he tried out for the Quidditch team.
I almost asked if second years could play. Dumb.
It says during tryouts, Jimmy caused Harry to receive a swelling on his head the size of an egg.
A swelling?
I wonder what kind of egg, though. Like ostrich, duck. They're all quail. Different sized, you know, quail egg.
Hummingbird.
I don't think hummingbirds lay eggs. What is that called for Family Guy?
Are you out of your skull?
But I think like the world's smallest egg is a quail egg, I think.
No, hummingbirds have eggs.
Hummingbird how eggs else? Look like the tiniest how little else? Cadbury eggs.
How else? They're not know. Birthed.
I thought you said they're not birds. I'm like, then what are they?
Oh my God, I'm sending
hummingbird
this in the
chat. Eggs.
Did you know that concrete grows in the wild?
Did you know that the
dogs don't lay eggs? But
I
anyways,
something today.
He still gets the job even though he hit Harry in the head with a bludger. So
you win some, you lose some.
I don't know. Like it says, I think he does. It is mentioned that he is like at the Battle of Hogwarts or something because McGonagall ordering Peaks to leave. Obviously, he's like underage.
It's
not known whether or not he snuck back in.
He could have. I don't know.
He's described to be short but broad chested. Peaks did not have the old brilliance of Fred and George.
People put hummingbird eggs in the chat for you. Okay. That
was Kate.
Oh, some people.
I'm going to Google like world.
Why do you have that picture? Did you Google that?
I Googled it. What do you think? I just have it readily available.
I don't know what you do with hummingbirds. You live in Florida. Oh, I'm not sure.
A veer vein hummingbird, the smallest egg laid by any bird. So Tiffany, you're right. But a specific hummingbird. It's of Jamaica. And it's less than 10 millimeters in length.
I don't know millimeters.
It's small. Let's look up Richie Coot, except it's just cute. Oh, he's an attractive man. The picture that's on the wiki, it's a little blurry, probably much better look now because he's, you know, this is from the movies. He's a student at Hogwarts during the 90s, and we know that they replaced the twins / Sloper and Kirk. Let's see. They played well enough, and, you know, they managed to stay on the team throughout the entire Quidditch season. It is mentioned by Hermione Granger that he and Peaks apparently caught Harry after he was knocked out from a bludger to the head that McLagan accidentally hit him with.
That was nice.
For whatever reason, it says that. And this is, at the end of the year, Albus Dumbledore was murdered by Severus. Which isn't a funny sentence, but
why is
that
necessary?
There? I don't
why
know.
Is it there?
Oh gosh.
Oh jeez.
It says not being in Harry's year it meant that he would also be returning to continue his education in 1997 after the death of Dumbledore. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. It's unknown if he was actually at the battle or not, if he was too young to stay in combat.
All right.
It says that he looked weedy, but he did aim well. So
weedy.
Yeah. Etymology: from petticoat, a small coat; from petty plus coat, originally a padded coat worn by men under armor.
Oh.
It says may reference to the character's place originally being filled by Fred and George Weasley and now being filled by a new man in armor, Quidditch uniform, in quotes.
It's a stretch.
Or in parentheses. So he saved the keeper position for last, hoping that there would be like, his strategy was if that one did last, he was thinking like everyone's going to be gone or most people are going to be gone.
Yeah.
So there's going to be less people, less pressure for those trying out, aka he's thinking out round. But that wasn't the case, basically, because everyone who tried out was still there. And then even the people that came to the tryout that weren't ever going to be on the team, like the Hufflepuffs and Ravenclaws, like, I don't think any of them really left. And then a lot of people, after breakfast was over, like, came down to the Quidditch pitch to watch. So
it was a nice thought.
The crowd had only grown larger. And then quoting from the book, it says, as each keeper flew up to the goal hoops, the crowd roared and jeered in equal measure. Harry glanced over at Ron, who had always had a problem with nerves. Harry had hoped that winning their final match last term might have cured it, but apparently not. Ron was a delicate shade of green. And I think it's interesting, not that interesting though, is that like it says goal hoops here, but earlier it said goal posts. So like,
maybe they're up by the hoops and not by the posts.
But anyways, this is just a reminder that Ron isn't a bad Quidditch player. He just lacks the confidence in himself and doesn't think very highly of himself. And therefore, he lets that get in the way of him playing a good game. So we got Christmas below me.
Okay. What?
Christmas is below me is what I said. Below me. But anywhoosies, Ron, get your head in the game.
Match.
Gotta get you in the game.
What's that from? What Disney movie?
High School Musical.
Santa. I knew it was something cheesy. See, you guys, we didn't have Disney Channel, okay? So you guys grew up with like Disney original movies, and I had to watch them at my friend's house.
That came out when I was in college.
No, not the first one.
When did High School?
Maybe the second or third.
2006.
That was the year I graduated.
That was the year I turned 16. I got my driver's license.
Why are you saying it like that?
I don't know. I'm tired and I want to finish this book.
All right.
Are we ready for lightning bolt?
I've always been ready for lightning bolt.
Okay. Kendra asks, did you have free periods in your high school? What did you do with your free periods if you did?
Yeah.
Yes.
Talk it depends on when they were. If they were, if I didn't have to be at school for them, okay, the last one or like the beginning, I wouldn't have to go to school. Or I would just hide in the library because I didn't want to talk to people.
We just sat and talked because I couldn't leave early. I think I had my eighth period my senior year and I couldn't leave early because I always had practice after school anyway. And it wasn't worth driving home and driving back. The life of cool athlete. But no, I just remember we sat like in like when you walked into our school, it had like this big huge open space and like
they had wide open spaces.
Yes, room to make a big mistake. The auditorium was over here and like band was over here and like the gym was forward and there was like not like a bench but like a spot where you could sit, so we just like literally would like lay all over the place and just talk. I don't remember doing homework, but I'm sure I did.
I like hardly ever did homework. I remember going to the business center a lot and reading fan fiction. Lot.
I would do homework so I wouldn't have to do it when I got home. I was just like, yeah. I'm already in the school mindset. Might as well get it done. If I wasn't being studious, I was absolutely talking to my friends.
I would read.
Depending on who I was with. Yeah.
But not anything I needed to read.
I don't remember doing homework. Like, that's not a memory that I have. Obviously, I did it, but, like, I don't remember.
General or, like, when you were at school?
Like, I remember a few projects, like, working on projects at home, like with my mom. Like, I remember making a solar system with like the foam balls. Like, I remember making a diorama in like second grade or something. But like, as far as like sitting at home and doing homework, none of those memories came with me. I don't have any memory of that. I'm just sad. It's like, I don't remember doing certain things.
It's not sad. No. It's okay to get rid of that one.
I guess
is it really that sad to not remember doing homework?
It's sad to not remember things. Just the fact that I'm not remembering makes me sad.
I pretty much just read fan fiction or talked. That's it.
You're amazing.
I would come in late or leave early.
Or write those dumb little notes that you'd fold up into a little triangle.
Triangle, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to pass
ours
it.
Ours are squares. I still have all of mine from high school.
Oh,
I threw those out.
I don't even talk to any of them anymore. Except I think cringy. I still have notes for Megan. I'll see if I can find any. I mean, I know where exactly where they are, but I have notes from friends and from high school. I actually have a note for my friend's sister, and she's like, "I wish you were my sister." I was like, "Oh gosh, sorry."
Just based off of my Facebook post that will pop up in like
yes,
time hop,
yes.
I would be embarrassed to read any handwritten note that I ever wrote in my life.
Handwritten notes in high school are the equivalent to when Facebook was like, it had your name and it said like, Katie is,
and then yeah. You had to fill in what you're doing. I was like, there's yeah. Such stupid
so bad
stuff.
So
like,
bad.
Way back when Marty and I first started dating, I would put song lyrics. I hate myself. Or like, all that'll pop up now is like what I was doing, so you don't see the Tiffany is part, and it'll be like,
yeah,
going to Cleveland to see the Irishman.
How old were you when you got Facebook?
18. That's when you were allowed. Back in the day, you had to have the
college
email to get it.
I was a senior in high school, so
they shouldn't have done 17. That for you.
Yeah, but like I remember, my very first picture was so at Mags, and I'm assuming they said this. I don't know, but there was four colors, and every year that graduated, like our color was red. So the year that we graduated, the incoming freshmen, the next year, their color was red.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the 4 years, they would be red, and they would just like the colors would cycle.
Yeah.
And ours was red. And so whenever we had like things that we had to do, I don't remember what it was, but like we all were wearing like red stuff that day. And I cut all of my hair off. Not me personally, but I went and had it done. All of my hair super, super short. My senior year, and I had it up, half of it up. It was shorter than my hair is now. It was half up because I couldn't fit it all in a ponytail. So it's a tiny itty bitty little ponytail with all the rest down, and like wearing a headband, and I had someone's bread poncho on, and that was my very first picture on Facebook.
I want to see it.
I'll have to see if I can find it.
You should be able to scroll the other way. I don't even know what mine is. I would go on mass deleting on Facebook, so I don't even know what my first picture was.
I leave it up for laughs. You know, we all grow. It's fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next is from Nikki. If you could only do one spell non-verbally, what would you pick?
Akio.
Probably Avada.
Okay.
Oh god, no, I don't know. Sectum Sempra, I guess.
What's wrong? I mean, like, I would want it to be something that I wouldn't want people to know that I'm using, so like, yeah. Akio, like, whatever,
it'd kill you in quiet.
I'm trying to think, honestly, maybe like
this is how I was last night before I started like actually crying.
Instead of definitely kill you some with, sort of hex.
Kill you with kindness. It's kill you with silence.
Yeah.
Kill you silence.
With some kind of hex mag?
Yeah, for sure. Because I don't want people to know that I used it. So it would be like, oh, you're pissing me off. Like, there you go.
I'd want to do the...
Because that's how I am.
The uncontrollable leg curse, just to like randomly make people dance. Oh
no, look
at me. Oh. Yelled at. Do you remember that?
What are you holding?
I do remember
those
that.
CDs? They're the Jonas Brothers.
What is it?
Just giant buttons. Did you buttons. See
it, Meg? They're buttons? Yeah, I know which picture it is.
Lord.
Megan, I can't handle.
Me?
Wait. Yes, look at your face.
I'm sure my hair is awful in that picture.
Oh, is that what's her name licking the one?
Let's see. Okay, Morgan asks, yeah. Which Hogwarts teacher would you befriend like the trio does with Hagrid?
Remus.
Which, I would which also what? Like. What'd you say?
Which teacher professor? Would you want to befriend?
I wouldn't mind being friends with McGonagall.
Dolores Umbridge.
I don't think she'd be your friend though, and that's not just you. I think that's everybody.
Tiffany.
I'm just saying she doesn't seem like the type that would be friends with this. Yeah,
she wouldn't be friends with you.
I didn't mean it like that.
She's a very professional lady.
Yeah.
Flitwick. I'm gonna say Flitwick if I can't pick my Dumbly. Since technically he's the headmaster.
You know what? I'm gonna go Sprout.
I was gonna say Sprout would be fun.
Yeah.
And she could be like, Hagrid. Hey, can I have this plant? And she'd be like, sure, sweetheart.
Yeah, you know how many free plants Neville probably got?
Yeah, right?
Free plants.
Sarah, did you answer?
I said Hagrid.
Oh, okay.
Hagar.
Shocking.
Marguerite asks, I think this is the chapter where Ron starts to harbor jealousy, secret dislike towards the relationship between Harry and Hermione. Do you think so, too? I was actually going to say that. I do think that this is kind of when it starts. Not a lot. Mm. But it just begins building in his head this like stupid thing that's not true that he just sees because he likes her.
Insecurity.
So he's going to nitpick. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I have no idea what you just said. What? What was the question?
This is the chapter when Ron starts to harbor jealousy towards Harry and Hermione's relationship. Do you think so, too?
I think it's like little building blocks. These are Legos, if you will.
It's little.
And
it's
he
little.
Just builds a mountain of sadness.
I think that it's also because they have a different relationship, and they always will, than he and Hermione does.
Honestly,
and
like
Ron is a very, and maybe when he's older it gets better, but we don't really get to see him like that. Mm-hmm. But like he's very insecure, and that plays a huge role into
some people that don't understand opposite sex being female. Being friends. What is wrong with me? All right. People of the opposite sex being friends, and maybe somebody on the outside looking in on that can't read that because maybe they don't have that themselves. And so they see people being comfortable with one another and assume it's more than friendship. And I think that, I mean, who is Ron just strictly friends with that's female?
Your mom.
Luna. Yeah, Luna.
I wouldn't say they're friends.
I would say Luna and Harry are friends. Yeah, I would say Luna and Harry are friends, but I don't know.
I would say they're acquaintances.
Yeah,
you know?
He's not. I mean, she grows on him, if you will.
She
but
grows on Harry, too.
He's not. I don't know.
She's
I
a parasite.
But again,
friends.
But like, so I don't think that he fully understands that kind of a friendship because he doesn't have that himself.
And maybe he's also thinking of the fact that he was friends with her first and then it became like, oh, I have feelings for her. And so he's maybe thinking like,
yes,
she's
so does Harry.
She's so amazing. Who else wouldn't have feelings for her?
Yeah.
And he's also very self-deprecating and doesn't like himself. At least at this point in his life.
Yeah.
So he's saying, why wouldn't she pick Harry over me? He's better than me. He's this more than me, blah, blah, blah. Like, what do I have to offer her? Red hair.
And a hand-me-down robe. There was something else I was going to say, and now I forget. That's okay. Move on.
A. Pats asks, if you had family or children at Hogwarts during this time, would you want them to come home?
That's hard because... is my home safer than this?
Yeah.
Because it probably isn't, you know? But
well,
being
if I'm in America, yes, my home is safer because Voldemort's not here.
But like...
but Dumbledore's there. I think next year would be a different situation.
Yeah. I'd be going into hiding for real.
Yeah.
On the for real, I'd be gone. You know?
Yeah. Year seven, no. Yeah, year sure. six, I think I would have allowed my kids to go to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been a conversation anyway. You know?
Yeah, it definitely would have been a conversation. Yeah. Like, is this the right decision? Okay, at this point in time, yes.
I mean, think about the students that have been there since...
I mean, they already lived through the Chamber of Secrets.
Or even year two, they're like, oh, Voldemort, right. There was somebody on the inside already anyway, so it's fine.
Giant snake in the plumbing. It's fine.
It's no big deal. It's no big deal.
I'm going to do one more. This one is from Jess Fable and Feast. Would or have you tried kippers? What's the strangest or most adventurous food you've ever eaten?
No to the kippers, and also no to the kippers. Both of those questions, I would not, have not, will not, in a boat, and I will not, could not, with a goat. I think if we're talking about like something, okay. Well, there's two.
I think it's also subjective.
For me, that's been a minute. Escargot. Escargot. and bone marrow. Mm-hmm. However, as weird as it is for me to say, bone marrow was really good on toast.
It's circling back to Shrek. It's the jelly from your eyes.
I'm just gonna circle back.
It's good, good on toast.
Phrases millennials hate to hear. We just circle back on that? No, we're not. We were on a break. Yeah, those two things. I did not care for snails. It wasn't so much flavor. It was texture for me.
It was the only time you ever tried them on the cruise?
Yes. No.
First of all, go to Le Petit Triangle.
First of all,
it's phenomenal.
I've already had a lunch of lizards, so I don't need to eat any more bugs.
But their escargot is better. And in general, their food is... Oh, their food is so good.
It's the texture that gets me. That's not going to change. It tastes like a buttery booger or something.
Still, you should just go to Le Petit Triangle and get their food. If you like French food and you're in Cleveland, Le Petit Triangle. So good.
Le Petit Triangle.
Contributed to the birth of Swish and Flick. So. Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Oh, I was like, it did? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
I would not try kippers.
Are we surprised?
Yeah.
The most adventurous thing Megan's tried is iceberg lettuce.
Maggie. Kale.
No, I've tried conch fritters.
What's that?
It's like a sea snail.
Yeah, that's a no for me as well. Anything that has a shell.
You actually might like it because I actually didn't hate it because you mostly just taste breading. But it was like a mental game for me knowing that I was eating something from the ocean. So I was
if you think about it, crabs and lobsters are just bugs of the sea. So
honestly, I mean, yeah, I would say that for me, the most adventurous thing that I've eaten is probably any of the seafood that I've tried just because I'm very like adamantly against eating seafood. But like I've tried crab, I've tried lobster, I've tried shrimp, I've tried conch fritters. I just don't like any of it.
That's fine.
I'm trying to think if you can think of something like more adventurous than I don't know. I guess conch fritters is probably the most weirdest thing I've tried.
It might be what I'm going to say because you also tried it.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
What is it?
I mean, it's not like anything crazy, but I can't think of anything else. I can't say I would never try kippers, but it'd take a lot of convincing. I don't know. But I tried haggis.
Oh, yeah. I did try haggis. I liked that, actually. It's just cooked in a sheep's stomach, but it's like just meat and stuff.
It's basically like meatloaf.
It tasted like meatloaf. It was really yummy. Yeah. It's just cooked in a sheep's stomach. So like you think that and it's weird.
Right.
But like you don't actually eat sheep's stomach.
And the only reason I was like, oh, it felt like good eating it is like I didn't like order haggis. It came with like high tea. So it was a little tiny... little tartlet of haggis.
I really like, right, I can
like some
it.
Tea and innards.
I would get it again if I'm being honest. I would try it again.
Yeah, I would try it again.
The way that we ate it was like very different too because it was high tea, so it was like in a little pastry.
Yeah.
I imagine that is not normally how haggis is served.
Right.
So like I would actually like to try it like how it's normally meant to be served, you know?
Never mind. I was going to say, we didn't actually get those gator nuggets that one time.
Oh, no.
Gator tastes like chicken. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Alligator tastes like chicken.
What?
Literally.
Have you eaten it?
Literally.
That's pretty odd.
I guess this makes me sad to say, but I have had kangaroo jerky before, too.
That's interesting.
Don't tell Jen.
Kangaroo jerky.
Well, he already did. All right. So listen, there was, I don't know if it's still around here or not, but.
Here's me thinking I'm the one that's going to be eating the weirdest stuff because I like weird foods. And then Tiffany goes, I've eaten kangaroo.
Look who I'm married to.
That's not even a real word. Did you
kangaroo?
Kangaroo. Kangaroo.
I think I called it jerky.
Jerky. Oh, gosh. So. Yeah, no, I guess, have I eaten frog legs? I don't remember. Marty's an adventurous food person, and there was a place up here, and it like specialized in all like different types of jerky, and I ate kangaroo, but I feel bad because they're really cute. I don't feel bad about any other. I just try not to think about it.
What's the weirdest thing? Oh, I would for sure try it.
What's blood pudding? I've eaten that, but what is it?
Black and white, there's blood in it.
Oh,
but okay. I love black and white pudding. I've had that. I've eaten frog legs. I've eaten.
Your dad likes frog legs. I remember when
they're very good.
Oh my God, you guys.
I've had escargot.
We went and sat down at a buffet. And your dad just casually sits beside me, and this is like early on, and he's just dangling some legs in his mouth, and I wanted to vomit.
What else have I eaten? I love eel sushi. Is one of my favorite.
Eel is good.
I love eel sushi. What else have I eaten that's like people think is weird? People think it's weird that I eat sushi. I love sushi.
Sushi's not weird to me.
I've had beef tongue. And I psyched myself out. It wasn't bad.
You did. I remember this whole fiasco.
I psyched myself out so bad about it that I had like 3 bites of it and I was like, I couldn't eat anymore.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that it didn't taste bad. It was just, it was
beef
so
tongue.
In my mouth. Oh, my mouth.
I was so in my mouth
about what I was eating. I've had that.
That was at El Carnicero, right?
Uh-huh.
Such a good restaurant, you guys.
What? Like, I don't know. I'm pretty much like, I'll eat almost anything. I at least try it once.
Do you have you had kippers, though?
No, I've never had the opportunity, but I would try it for sure. I don't know. What else have I eaten that's like people think is weird?
I remember watching. I used to watch Fear Factor a lot. And one time, you know, they make them like eat a bunch of horrible stuff. But the guy asked her, the lady that was going to eat who knows what. He's like, what's like the worst, grossest thing you've ever eaten? She's like, cold pizza. And we're like, oh, you're screwed.
Dude. Cold pizza's life, man.
I like cold pizza.
I like cold pizza.
I love cold pizza.
Cold pizza's better than no pizza.
Rocky Mountain oysters. Anybody eaten those?
No,
I know
I've
none of you have.
That.
Anybody in the chat eaten Rocky Mountain oysters?
I will tell you a funny story Absolutely about the very not. First time I ever had oysters. My cousin and I went out for like drinks and an appetizer basically, and when we're together we're fools, and so we had never tried them before and we wanted to try them. So we're at, I think this place is not closed, I think it was Tremont Tap House. Might not be closed, I don't remember, it was like 3 years ago, and we order like 6 of them, and then I say to her, I'm like, how are we supposed to eat these? So then we're laughing.
What are you eating? Oysters?
Yeah, we are laughing
raw?
Hysterically as we're googling, yeah, like oysters on the
half shell in the ice.
And then we're googling how to eat them. Crying, we were laughing so hard. And they're all right, but again, I truly will almost anything I will try at least once.
I've eaten an oyster once, and once again, texture could not do. Yeah. I don't even remember what the flavor was, but it was.
Yeah.
I think I spit it out. I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah. I don't know.
That was a loaded question.
Listen, when you talk about food with us, we're gonna talk.
I'm trying to think of like if there's anything else that I've eaten. I swear to God there is, but I can't think of it.
I don't know.
I'm a very particular eater, but I'll eat almost anything. Okay. Put bacon on it. Can't taste anything but the bacon.
Oh, gosh.
Or is that, that's it? I said I was
going to
I think
that's it. I think that's it.
Well, happy to be the bearer of good news for me. Slytherin has won the house cup.
You didn't even announce bingo.
Yeah, but Gryffindor did win bingo, but I'm sorry, it just still wasn't enough. But shout out to Morgan. Wow. She got bingo today. She's a Gryffindor.
You're so rude.
But they just fell short. They came in second. Gryffindor, you know, second
well
or
done,
nothing.
Well done, Slytherin. Hello.
But shout Put out to in. Slytherin.
Go Snakes, go.
With 220 points.
Oh, I almost sent a gift that was not appropriate because it had a bad word.
Okay.
It said hiss hiss bee. And it had a snake. But it was Ka from Jungle Book, so I thought it was safe for a second. Oh man. All right. Congrats, Meg.
Thanks.
Congrats, Slytherins. Who wants a fan story?
I do.
Okay. Me.
This one comes from September of 2019.
Oh, the days before.
The days before.
The days before.
BC. Before COVID.
It's the new BC.
I hope I'm saying your name correctly, but this comes from Alina Liu.
That's how I would say it. It's a pretty name.
I agree. Swish and Flick podcast. I just wanted to start by saying thank you for creating this podcast because it holds such a special place in my heart. The podcast helped me revisit old memories from when I was younger, both good and bad. Being an only child, it was lonely growing up, but having Harry, Hermione, and Ron to grow up alongside is a feeling no one could ever authentically replicate. Back in middle school and high school, my family did not have much, so it was hard to ask them for anything I wanted. We came over to the States when I was about 9 years old, and we bounced around Orange County, California for a good 5 years after our move. Not only did I miss out on reading the books, but I also missed out on the midnight movie premieres. I usually would spend my time at the school library reading and checking out the books while waiting for my parents to pick me up from school. I guess you could say I'm making up for all the lost time I could have had, but I'm not complaining because my 27-year-old... Hold on. Because being 27-year-old... years old now, I probably value the series much more than my 15-year-old self. I had only recently reconnected with the kid inside me, and let me say, all of my Potter memories flooded my brain at full force. 2 years ago, I was able to save up enough money to take a trip to London to visit Leavesden Studios, and the rest is history. The level of detail at the studio had me in awe because I stood in front of each set for at least 30 minutes to an hour to take it all in. For this Halloween, I am planning a Harry Potter themed party, which I am so stoked. I want to post the party photos on the Facebook page, if that is okay with everyone. I hope you did. P.S. Thank you, Megan, Tiffany, Katie, and Sarah. Kindest regards, Alina.
You're welcome. And thank you for the story.
Yeah, that is super sweet. I love hearing when people, like, maybe they did miss out on, you know, like we all said, we grew up with it. Maybe you did miss out on that, but like, you still got into it. I love that.
I also totally understand just standing in awe at Leavesden.
Yes.
Yeah.
We quite literally spent open to close there.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yeah. And I could do it again easily.
The room with the Hogwarts model, I think we spent the most time in.
Oh, yeah. We just like sat there and stared at it.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I could see doing that.
Just like pick different angles.
Yeah. We're like, all right, let's sit over
let's
here now.
Sit over here for a little bit.
But thank you, Alina.
Pretty. Yes.
Very sweet. All right. Did you know that the Goblet of Fire used to have a girlfriend? It's just an old flame, really.
Oh my god.
That's good. That's good.
All right. Make sure that you follow your hosts on social media. Myself and Katie are on Instagram at the Petrus Family. Tiffany is on Instagram at tiffswish_flick. And Sarah is on Instagram at O'Malley with 3 H's.
Ding.
Dong.
What am I doing? Thank you for asking. Not much. I've been teaching from home, which ends next week, but I don't want to talk about that because that's a sad tweet. And yeah, finally took down some Christmas stuff, ready to have not that up. I like the fresh slate. Like, I always miss the lights and stuff, but it's nice to just have it cleaned out for the year. Got an espresso, so that's been awesome. Highly recommend.
Those things are good.
Oh, very good.
We cat sat once, and the person's house had one of those machines, and we didn't know what the colors meant, so, like, I don't know which one I picked, but we put one in. And I stayed up.
Rocket fuel, man.
I stayed up till 4 in the morning. I was not tired. I could not sleep.
Yeah.
I've just been drinking the like regular coffee ones. And I had the one that was like the one shot of espresso. And it was very good. It was very good. What else? I don't know. I was sick for so long and did like nothing. So I haven't really, I still haven't done much. I like kind of put myself in another lockdown, if you will. But I picked up, what is it called? Throne of Glass, and read a couple more chapters of that. I asked Sarah if anything action-y happened.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to lie, you guys, I'm pretty bored.
The first one took me a while to get into, but like it picks up at the end.
I don't know how many days. I don't remember how many days it took. I just, yeah. The first five books, I think, took me almost a full month. The only one I know for sure I read in a day was Assassin's Blade, because I was determined to get, because I read the first three, then I read Assassin's Blade, then I was reading the fourth one, and I really wanted to get to the fourth one. So I didn't give myself more than a day. That's all I know.
Yeah, but
I remember.
I'm pretty bored right now. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I'm not really doing much. Growing a baby.
Are you finished? I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah.
I did my 5K this morning. That was super fun. There were amazing characters out. I saw Pinocchio. I saw Abu.
That's awesome.
Lumiere and Cogsworth. Sadness, Joy, Mickey, and Pluto. I think that was everybody. It was super fun, though. And Katie does the 10K tomorrow, but I'm not going to take that away from her. She can talk about it more if she wants to. I also picked up the next Throne of Glass book. I'm hoping to finish that this weekend at the latest. I really want to just like power through that series because I've just heard so many good things. And I also really want to read Shadow and Bone. And I also really want to read Crescent City before the next one comes out. I just have a lot going on. So, yeah, but it's been fun. This weekend is just going to be crazy. Our like sleep schedule is going to be absolutely insane because we're also going to cheer on our friend Peter, who's doing what's called the Dopey Challenge, where he's literally running every single race this weekend. So he's doing a 5K. He did the 5K today, 10K tomorrow, half marathon on Saturday, full marathon on Sunday. So we're going to be cheering him on Saturday and Sunday, and all the races start at 5 a.m. But you have to get there even earlier than that just because of crowds and stuff. So it's going to be an interesting couple of days.
It's looked interesting so far. That race was cute this morning, though. I love that Lumiere and Cogsworth were out.
That was so cool. I was actually full on expecting Remy and Emile to be in France just because of like the Remy ride.
Right.
So then when I turned the corner and I saw Lumiere and Cogsworth, I was just kind of like stunned. I was like, oh, my God.
I think everybody was like, from everybody, all the Disney people that I follow that do the races, we were like floored that those guys are out.
Yeah, like you really only ever see them in the show, the Beauty and the Beast show at Hollywood Studios. Like I don't know if they've ever
like been in Epcot.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, remember when you thought I could ride Remy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Never forget.
The good times.
Yeah, it starts so early, even in the winter, because the sun in Florida is hot no matter what time of year it is, and you want to be finished with your race mostly.
And you could possibly freeze at night, which I did.
I think you literally finished like when the sun rose. Like,
yeah.
Literally on the horizon.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I'm done.
yeah, I'm running 10K tomorrow. It's going to be super interesting because...
Yeah, you've had a little bit of a mishap in your training.
Yeah, so...
Just be really adamant about getting to the front of the corral so that you, like, give yourself some leeway with time.
Yeah, I know. It's just like...
You'll be fine.
I mean, I'm just going to go and, like, do the best I can. Like, it's whatever. I'm just, like... curious to know how my body will react to it.
You know that you can do it.
Yeah, my body has done it before.
Those races are so hype, Kate. You're gonna be adrenaline pumped.
Totally. Like,
and you get to go through Hollywood Studios and Epcot. So like when you're in the parks, you're just gonna be like excited.
Yeah, you're just gonna be happy.
I remember like being surprised because like, I mean, sometimes you have great runs, right? And sometimes you're gonna have a crap run. It doesn't matter if you've been running a day or 5 years. It doesn't matter. Like
a crap run.
Yeah. But like I remember when I did my 10K last time, like with the music and everything, like you're jazzed.
Yeah, I like prepared to like listen to a book or listen to music, but like they had music playing in the parks and I was like, I don't even know why I brought headphones. Like I would have been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I can't tell you how many runs I've had.
They're all pretty crappy.
Please, everyone, send vibes. That never happens to me.
Let me tell you, crossing that finish line smelled like that powder that they used to clean up puke, and it was disgusting.
Mm-hmm. But it goes away quick. You just smell it for a second.
And I just, like, saw piles of that powder everywhere, and I'm like, bleh.
Did you?
It's like elementary school, man.
Yeah, and, like, you guys must have just, like, absolutely booked it to exert yourself that much, like, this was a fun 5K. You could have walked it.
Let me tell you.
You could have walked it.
Watching the start line and like some people were sprinting. I would have been gassed within 30 seconds.
One of our friends who did it today finished the 5K in 20 minutes.
I know.
Who got, did they have rankings though. You can see, right?
Yeah they do. But I don't know first. Who was.
I don't know if they've posted that yet. It's on the tracking thing.
And did they have
the
a
last
good
time
run?
I did a race, we had to go over, like, the very first thing you go over is a bridge. And as we started getting on it, someone was already coming back through. Like, that's how fast they were. We're like, we just started.
And then we walked.
But I wasn't wearing, like, sometimes I can't run.
I get it.
Sometimes my boobs are just like, no. Mm-mm.
I get it.
But that's it.
Not for that reason, but I get it.
I hope I read.
I said not for that reason, but I get it.
I want to read a book soon because I haven't in a while.
I am really pushing her to read The Hating Game because I freaking love that book so much.
It's my plan.
Read it.
It's per usual. I'm not doing anything. I've read 4 books so far this year.
Not doing anything. Read 4 books. Had some runs.
No
crap runs.
Crap runs for me. I have biked 2 days in a row, 3 days this week.
Did you bike today?
I did indeed. I biked whilst reading because I like. So I just finished. What is this called? The Death of Jane Lawrence. And it started out really strong. It's like a gothic novel, and then like halfway through to like. 60-75%. It just was
long. Did it fall flat for you?
Yeah, it just, and it was weird, which like gothic novels are like, I've only read 2 gothic novels, and then I've seen Crimson Peak, which is also like a gothic-y, which is also weird, and then Mexican Gothic, I think, is the other book. I read that last year, which I really, really liked, but was also like, there's very weird aspects in it. I like that. I like Mexican Gothic more than I liked this. It was still good. It just kind of lost me in the end. So I was like really struggling to like finish it today because I was like, I want to read something else. What I'm going to read next, I have no idea, but I'll figure it out. I don't have anything else to say, really. All I've done is read. And that's it. I don't know.
It's been pretty,
and none of the books have been like that good.
Quiet. Yeah,
like
nothing spectacular yet.
No,
I mean, so
I'm waiting for a good 5.
January 6th, so
yes. But I started off last year with the very first book. I gave that 5 stars, and that was Obama's book that I really liked. It took me 2 weeks to read it, because it was heavy material. But I liked that a lot. But I mean, I did buy like 80 books in the past like 2 weeks. So I have a lot to choose from. So yeah, we'll see what I pick next.
You're basically a library at this point. Yeah.
I was going to reread. I started rereading Crescent City before the book, the second one comes out. Mm-hmm. But like going in, knowing like how sad the beginning is and like how sad a lot of it is.
Who wrote that?
Sarah, JMass, SGM. Hmm.
Should I read that?
It's good. I like it a lot. It's just sad. So like I...
Is it action-y? Am I going to be bored?
No, there's action in it. It's is thick though. And since it's the first book in a whole new like world,
is there spicy?
It's a lot of world building, so it's dense.
Spicy?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's an adult series, so like I don't want to spoil things, but like yes and no.
Okay.
But like one of the taglines for the second book is like 500% more sex. So
oh
yeah,
all right.
And I did start reading another book, Ruin of Rose. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
And I put it down because I didn't love it. I might end up picking it back up because someone said like the second book was way better, but the Blonde Bibliophile read it too, or and I think she DNF'd it as well. Ooh. But she was like, it's very crass for like no reason, and like I 1000% agree with her. And I literally was like, I just in the middle of like a paragraph, and I was like, I don't know if I want to continue reading it, so I put it down. Who knows, I might pick it back up. I don't know, but at this point in time it's sitting on my floor. So
okay,
who knows what's gonna happen next. I don't.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it.
I also wanted to add really quickly that I watched Encanto for the first time. Highly, highly recommend.
Super
it
good.
It might be my favorite.
I started watching it. It turned off because I got sad. So
it's so good.
I've heard people.
I have a
get
question
sad.
For people. So like message me or like whatever. Because if you're on like Goodreads or something and you can't give like a half star, like if you can't say something's like 3.5 stars, do you round up or do you round down? Tiffany told me to round up, at least on the one book you did.
I feel like it would
I'm just
depend.
Curious about people's opinions, because like I would give this a 3.5, but I gave it a 4 on Goodreads.
Okay,
I mean
according to math you're supposed to round up.
Huh?
Aren't you supposed to round up when it's 5?
Yeah, but like I don't know. Someone I follow, they're like, if they give it, like, if it's like a 3.2, 3.5, 3.7, she always just puts a 3 because she puts whatever numbers first.
Mm, I get that.
Because it's not quite a 4.
I guess it would just depend on how you feel about the book. Like,
yeah.
If you could give it a little extra, sure. Or if you feel like you couldn't, you go down. I don't know.
Yeah.
Any hoosies. Yeah, that's it. There's a lot of things happening in this episode, and I don't even remember what we talked about.
Everything.
Everything. Okay. Well, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just in my voice.
Night, it's like your mom drinking water.
Oh, you know I love the sound of my mother drinking.
Oh, God.
I think she does it on purpose. She sneezes loud on purpose.
Sometimes you do.
Yeah, but not like her.
Yeah, but not to that extent. Bottom tooth, Family Guy.
Bottom tooth? Oh, yeah.
And they're all sitting there clearing their throats, and they're saying, like, who can do it the loudest? Ooh, you did it very well. It's not your first time.
Yeah, I've been doing it a long time.
We ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ready, Freddy. Okay. All right.
Baby.
Bye, Swishers.